Looking back over the last 3 years, I have preached under the umbrella of a theme for the whole year. And interestingly, I had never done that before until 3 years ago. In all my years of preaching, never a theme for the whole year until 3 years ago. I don't know that I will do that every year from here on out, but that's certainly been the direction that God has led me over these last 3 years. The year COVID struck, 2020, I was challenging you to be desperate for God. Maybe you remember that. It was a pretty timely theme, as we certainly needed Him in our lives. We found ourselves to be in pretty uncertain times. And lots of people in the world were dying from COVID. So many people were getting sick from COVID, even, you know, people around us and ourselves as well. I remember saying to Cindy at some point in that year, it's not a matter of if we will get COVID, it's just a matter of when we will get COVID. And after Christmas time, about this time of the year in 2020, and as the year turned over to 2021, COVID came knocking on our door. Cindy and I both had it together, along with three others in our family. The only good thing about it was Rebecca and Luke, they had been with us over Christmas. In fact, I think they're the ones who brought it to us. And it caused them to have to stay 3 or 4 days longer than what they were intending to. And so we experienced that COVID together. Thankfully, God got us through it. And I imagine it came knocking on your door too. I think most everybody has experienced it. And because you're here this morning, that's indication you got through it as well. God got you through it. And you know what? We still need to be desperate for God. That Psalms 42:1 was a scripture that we gave a lot of attention to in 2020. It says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." And I just want to ask you, are you still desperate for God? Are you feeling that desire, that longing to be one with Him, to be growing in Him? Do you have that kind of thirst for Him? That's a prayer that I pray quite often for myself and for my family, even still today, that we would be desperate for God. I would encourage you to pray that prayer. That's a theme from 3 years ago, but it never loses its truth and its importance for us. We need to be a people who are desperate for God. 2021, the theme was victory. And I think that was God-led too. Certainly after a year of COVID, we were needing encouragement. And so we talked about the victory that we have in Jesus. We have victory over sin. We have victory over the grave. We have victory over the devil. Do you believe that? A couple of you do. Let me ask you again. Do you believe we have victory in Jesus? Yes, we do. And we have victory over disease. Sometimes here, if God so chooses, we have victory over disease, and for sure we will have victory over disease up there. And speaking of heaven, we're still looking for that ultimate victory. We should be praying with the Apostle John as he closed the book of Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus," because once He comes, we will experience ultimate victory in Him. And then 2022, we just closed the book on that year. Our theme was, "Follow Me." Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And their response, verse 18 of Mark chapter 1, says, "Immediately they left their nets and followed him." That should be our response. Jesus is calling us too, and he wants us to follow him. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I pray that we are committed to following Jesus the whole distance. From here until the day that God calls us home, that we would follow him. No quitting early. And that brings us to 2023, today, the first day of the new year. Back in the fall, I began praying to God that he would give me a theme to preach on for the coming year. And it wasn't long before this theme began coming to my mind, and I couldn't get it off of my mind. The theme, rooted. Rooted. We are to be rooted in Jesus. And Colossians 2, 6 and 7 will be the scripture that we reference over and over again in 2023. I encourage you to memorize it. It says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." As you can tell, I've not memorized that verse yet, but I commit myself to memorizing those two verses, and I want to ask you to memorize those two verses with me for this year. And the New Living Translation treats that passage this way, and I like this particular translation. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." I appreciate Mallory making this if we could go back to that banner. I appreciate Mallory making this for us, and I think we'll have a banner just like this, such as what we've had over the last 3 years with our yearly theme. And we'll have that in the lobby. Sometimes you'll see it up here, maybe out in the gym, in the hallway. We'll move it around just to remind you of what we're emphasizing for this year, that we would grow our roots down deep into Jesus. As I see this tree on this banner and its many roots, I can't help but think back to an experience that I had 35 years ago. We moved to Fort Scott in the summer of 1987, and by the time fall came of that same year, we had found the house that we wanted to buy. It was being built for the purpose of being sold. And so we made the fellow who was building it very happy. And we were happy. It was our first home to own, and we moved into it on Halloween of that year, 1987. And I don't remember exactly when it was. It would have been sometime before the spring of 1988. I spent a good portion of a Saturday out in the woods digging up trees and transplanting them into our yard. If you've never been to our home there on the northwest side of Fort Scott, we live on 5 acres, and that acreage is evenly divided by a waterway that runs east and west across our property lines. And our house sets on the front side of that, of 2.5 acres there. And as we moved into that house, there was not one tree on that 2.5 acres. And I was determined I was going to change that. And there was a fellow in the church there in Fort Scott that was a farmer, and he had a lot of acreage and a lot of woods. And I talked to him and asked him for permission if I could go into his woods and dig up some trees. And he said, yes. Have you ever tried to dig up an oak tree? Oh, my. It is a job. First, I tried to dig up an oak tree that was about as tall as what I am. And do you know how far down the taproot of an oak tree goes? I thought I was digging to China. It was unreal how far down that taproot was going. I finally gave up and filled the crater in that I had just dug. And by the end of the day, I ended up coming home with two oak trees and two hard maples. The maple trees were a little easier to dig. The oak trees that I settled on were about, instead of this tall, they were about this tall. And they were about as big around as my thumb. And yet still that taproot probably went down 18 inches at least into the ground. And I have a picture of the two oak trees that I dug on that day. This is one of them. And then one more. That's the second one. Those are the two oak trees that I dug in the spring of 1988. That's 35 years of growth and a lot of babying in those early years. And I have a picture of the maple tree, one of them, that I dug that spring of 1988. Healthy trees have healthy root systems. You take a look at this tree that's on our banner, and it has a lot of roots to it. And I'm pretty confident that is not an oak tree, because an oak tree doesn't have a lot of roots on top of the ground like what this tree has. An oak tree has that big taproot that goes down, down, down into the ground. Of course, it has other roots as well. This tree here has a lot of roots that are going out. A lot of them on top of the ground, as you would see there. I wouldn't want to have to try and mow around this tree. But what are the roots for in a tree? Really, two reasons for the roots. One would be to hold the tree up, to give it stability. And the second reason for roots is the nutrients. The roots get the nutrients that the tree needs to stay alive. Those are the two reasons for roots. And I'm thinking, we are like that tree. We need to be rooted into Jesus. And Jesus is the one who helps us have stability in our life. Jesus is the one who gives us some stability amidst the storms of life, and it's through Jesus that we have what we need for life. Therefore, Paul says, let your roots grow down deep into Him. Our roots are to be rooted, our lives are to be rooted into Jesus. If your roots are being anchored into something besides Jesus, it's going to leave you very unstable and top-heavy, and eventually, as those storms come against you, you will come tumbling down. Think with me. What do people grow their roots into? All kinds of things. I asked my wife this question, this very question, a couple of weeks ago, because actually I worked on this sermon before the holidays so that I could have really some time with family and not worry about a sermon. And so I remember asking Cindy specifically, what do you think people grow their roots into? You know what she answered first? Sports. Oh boy. It's true. One can easily see that this weekend with all the sports mania at the bowl games. And I'm not saying all that's wrong by any means, but it can be wrong if that's where our life is rooted into. And we can get so deeply rooted into our favorite team that we absolutely go bonkers over that team. Do we go bonkers over Jesus? You know, I don't expect the world to feel that way about Jesus. They don't know him, but we know him. We wear his name. I would expect us to go bonkers over Jesus. He's deserving of that. We need to be committed to him. We need to love him, to want to be with him, to be excited over him, to want to share him with others, to be willing to invest our lives into him, to be willing to invest our money into him. That's what I would think it means to go bonkers over Jesus, to be deeply rooted into him. What else do people grow their roots into? Their family. And that's good. But our family can't be our first love. Jesus needs to be our first love. Our family can't save us from sin. Our family can't get us to heaven. Only Jesus can do those things for us. If we have Jesus as our first love, he'll help us to love our family better. People grow their roots into themselves. They become their own God. The world has a name for that, narcissism. Do you know the story behind that word? It's taken from Greek mythology. Narcissus, according to Greek mythology, was a hunter, and he was very good looking. And he became obsessed with himself. He became obsessed with his own reflection in the water. He stared at himself until he died. A variance of that story is he became so mesmerized with himself that he fell into the water and drowned. The point is, he was all about himself, and it cost him his life. And that's the way a lot of people live their lives today. They are so into themselves that they become their own God, and it's going to cost them their soul if they don't find Jesus. We cannot save ourselves. People dig their roots into their stuff. All their stuff, their money, and more stuff, and none of this will bring fulfillment to us. None of this will satisfy. We'll always need more stuff. We'll always need more money. People dig their roots into their job and their work and into sex and alcohol and drugs. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it is an account of Solomon searching and digging his roots into everything under the sun. Do you remember his discovery? He said this in Ecclesiastes 1:14, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The world can't satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. And so we must grow our roots deep into him. I was listening to my son-in-law's sermon from a couple of Sundays ago, and he was making a very similar point. In fact, I could have almost played a video of his sermon, and it would have been nearly the same as what I'm preaching to you today. He was making this point that only Jesus satisfies. The world can't satisfy us. And he quoted John Piper as saying this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Isn't that good? When we have our satisfaction in him, not only are we the most fulfilled, but he is glorified through that. Remember this: the world cannot satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. So we must grow our roots down deep into him. Notice from our text out of Colossians that before we can be rooted into Jesus, we first have to accept Jesus as Savior. Back to that banner, if you have that for us, Stacy. There we go. Notice how verse 6 starts out. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's where it starts. We have to make a personal decision for Jesus. Now, most of us here have made that choice. I don't know, maybe there would be some here that have not made that choice to have Jesus as Lord and Savior. I can't think of a better way to start off the new year than to have him as the Lord and Savior of our life. How do we do that? How does one accept Jesus as Savior? According to Scripture, and I'd be glad to sit down with you and share specific scriptures with you to verify what I'm saying, because really it doesn't matter what Kevin says. Doesn't matter what Reinhardt says in their statement of doctrine. What matters is, what does God say in his word? And according to Scripture, it all starts with belief in Jesus as God's Son. We believe him to be the one who died for our sins and raised from the dead. We believe him to be the only way to God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So it starts with a simple faith, a simple trust in Jesus as God's Son, the risen Savior. And next, a person needs to repent of their sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." To repent means to be sorry for our sins, to ask him to forgive us. We confess our sins to God as a sinner. We need him. We need him to save us. We want him to help us change our life. We surrender our life to him. All that is a part of repentance. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." We need that. We need times of refreshing. We need forgiveness of our sins. So upon our belief in Jesus, upon our repentance of our sins, that's when a person needs to be baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter said to the people on Pentecost, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then verse 41 of that same chapter, we see the results. "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." That's quite a day of decision making. And if by chance there would be even one person here today who's never made this decision for Jesus, the Apostle Paul said it this way, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. I want to tell you about a very special day yesterday that we had here at the church. What a way to end the year for Alicia Walker and her mom and dad, J.R. and Yvette Wolf, as they came and were baptized into Jesus. It was a wonderful day. And I have to tell you about Yvette particularly. Yvette's not here this morning, and she was here last week, actually, I think probably for the first time. Yvette's got some major health stuff going on in her lungs. She has COPD and she has emphysema. And she just has a hard, hard time breathing. But as I had visited with Alicia, and she had decided that the time was right, she wanted to be baptized into Christ. She went to her mom and dad, and she told them what she was going to do. And her mom and dad said, hey, we want to do that with you. And for Yvette, that is a major, major step simply because of her health. She can hardly breathe. She's on oxygen. Is she on oxygen most 24/7? Yeah. She's on oxygen 24/7, and even with that, just a little bit of exertion wears her out. And so for her even to get here last Sunday was a big thing for her. And we hope over Sundays to come she'll feel up to that. But to come yesterday, just from the car to this front row, was a big exertion for her, and she had to sit there for quite a while. We talked, we read some scripture, we prayed together. I asked them, all three, do you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And they said, yes, we do. So she reached a point where she thought she could get from here up the steps and into the back, and we had a chair back there for her, and she sat there for quite a while. We went ahead and baptized Alicia, and we baptized JR. And she went from the chair then to the step, top step, and she sat for quite a while, just trying to get her breath. Still got her oxygen tube on. This whole process from here to there and back was, I'm sure, more than an hour. She went from the top step down into the baptistry and sat, still had her oxygen on. I said, now you're going to be baptized with that tube on? And JR says, no, I don't think so. I'm afraid she's going to get water in that. And so she sat there for quite a while. And finally she says, okay, I'm ready. And she took it off and I dunked her and brought her back up and the tube went back on. And she sat there for quite a while before she went up to the top step and sat again. And the total reverse process of what happened ahead of time. And I'm sure getting the wet clothes off was a complete exertion for her. I'm thinking, if Yvette can do that, anybody can do that. What a testimony of faith and willingness simply to do what God commands us to do. I praise God for her testimony of faith. I anticipate in 2023 more more people coming to Christ. But let me tell you, as this rooted is our theme, let me tell you, the baptistry is not the end of our journey with Jesus. It's just getting us going down that road further maybe than what we have been. I'm not saying it's the start of our faith. For some, it's just a continuation of faith. I want to do what Jesus commands me to do. And all of us, we are to grow deeper into Him. We are to grow our roots down deep into Him. Paul says in Colossians 2:6, so as you have received Christ as Savior, walk in Him. The New Living Translation, I think, said, so follow Him. Continue in Him. Our baptism is followed up by a life of faithfulness. We are rooted into Jesus. And over these weeks to come and year to come, we're going to talk about what that means. And I hope that we will have ears to hear. Could I encourage you to spend some time in the book of Colossians? Next week, we'll look at what does this life of faithfulness mean? But then the third week of January, we're going to start on the book of Colossians, and we're going to spend up until Easter time on the book of Colossians. And so I just encourage you to read through that book numerous times between now and these next few months. And I think God will speak to us about what it means to be rooted in Him. Let's pray together. God, we want to be rooted in Jesus. All this other stuff, not necessarily bad stuff, sports, job, family, all of that good stuff, but that's not what's going to get us to heaven. And so help us to be rooted in You. Help us to be growing down deep into Jesus. And thank You that You long for us to be one with You. It's in His name we pray. Amen.